afternoon, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Do you want to look at the pictures, or?
Did you draw the pictures?
No, the pictures are done by Noni Cox.
Okay.
But they're very beautiful, and so everybody looks at them. One evening, while Jane and Jill Doe and their own spotted small one were eating their dinner, Jane sighed out a long one. "Oh, golly," she said. Their small one just kept grazing ahead. "It's been quite a while since I've seen such a sight as this full moon come rising on a warm, soft June night." The small one kept eating, though she nodded her head. "It makes me feel restless, you know what I mean. It makes me feel restless to see such a scene." Their small one kept eating, though she stayed rather lean. "I sure wish we weren't staying home here tonight. I'd sure like a swim in that yellow moonlight," Jane wistfully said. Finally, small one raised up her head, and with a little smile she said, "So why don't you two go off and play? I've been stuck with you all day. Who cares about that silly moon? I'd rather stay here with old Raccoon." "You would? Well, say, that's great. We wouldn't stay out really late," Jill yelped with delight. "Gee, I hope that coon comes by tonight." And just as she spoke, the raccoon rumbled into sight. In a moment, it was all quite plain, as Raccoon said, "Oh, sure," to Jill. And Jane, when asked if he would hang around the small one, "I'd love to, Jill. I'd love to, Jane," he said easily. "You two go right out now and paint the town." "Bye, Moms. Have fun," said small one quietly. So Jill and Jane went trotting off with glee. Then small one and old raccoon played and sang songs together under the big bright moon on that beautiful night in June. "Let's take a break," small one said at last and bowed her head way over. "I think I'll eat a little more of this fine clover." The next time that raccoon looked down, she was lying on the ground, her head on her knee. "Looks fast asleep to me," he whispered. "This job's even easier than I figured." Meanwhile, Jane and Jill had paused in flight. "Now, where shall we go? Shall we swim tonight?" Jane asked of Jill, and Jill replied, "I know. The silent pool will be just right." They moved on quickly through the woods, running as quietly as they could. From time to time, they did a dance. They hopped, they leaped, they jumped, they pranced. When they reached the pool, it was quite a sight, gleaming brightly in the pale moonlight. Standing beside it, a short brown bear was having a drink with the old gray mare. "Welcome, gentle deer," they said. "It's been a long time since we've seen you. What kind of things have you been up to?" "Oh, just the usual and a little more," Jane answered lightly. "That small one keeps us going nightly, daily, and on Sundays, too." Then Jill asked politely, "And how are you?" "Why, I'm doing fine. As I just said to Madeline here, sure as my name's Billy Bear, I've found me one outstanding lair. You'll have to come up and see it sometime." "We'll do that, Bill, we really will," Jill said with a grin. "But right now we sure feel like a swim in this pool, so still is what we want." "You'll like it a lot," said Madeline. "The water's fine. We've just come out. It's not too cold and it's not too hot." Jane and Jill plunged right in and splashed around. The moon was shining on the ground and in the air and even on the short brown bear. The two does felt frisky, fine, and free. "That's a pleasant sight to see," said the mare. "Yes," replied the bear. "Sounds like those deer deserve a break. Well, see you, Mad. It's getting late." Bill lumbered off, and very soon the old gray mare glanced up at the moon. "My, my, he's right," she thought, and called to the does. "Goodbye, my friends," as she disappeared into the moonlit night. The deer both waved goodbye and gave a splash. Then Jill said to Jane, "We'd better dash. We're far from home, and I can see that nice full moon will be gone in a flash." But golly, it sure was fun to roam, to feel so frisky, fine, and free, to be alone with only we. With a shake, they were dry. With a leap, they were gone. And before they knew it, they were right back home. Jane woke up the coon and thanked him a lot. "Nothing to it," he said. "That's a fine little tot. I know it," said Jill. "Without her, we'd feel mighty lonely. But sometimes it's fun to go off with us only and play in the moon." "So call again soon," said the coon as he left. "Don't worry, we will," whispered Jane as she and Jill lay down beside Small One in the sweet-smelling hay. Together they nuzzled and kissed their pretty little fawn. "We'd best go to sleep, Jill. It's almost dawn." And just as she spoke, away went the moon. And that's one full moon in June.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Lovely.
That was really sweet.
It was very sweet.
I first wrote this story as just with Jill, and she was a single mom, and she was also wanting to go out and play, and she had to find a babysitter, and so the whole story was the same, except for it was a single mom story. And I sent it to Ms. Magazine. This was in about 1986 or so.
Big time.
And they had, in Ms. Magazine then, they had stories for free children. And they accepted the story and printed it, and I was so thrilled because I had never been in a major magazine, and that's my only big major magazine I've ever been in, and so then they came out with an anthology of their children's stories that's also called Stories for Free Children, and published that story, my story, in that too.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, so it's out there.
Congratulations.
And so then I decided to make it a story for two moms because, like, a couple of years ago or more, I was at Powell's bookstore in Powell's
in
Portland, and it takes up a whole city block, right? And the only books they had for kids with two moms was still Heather Has Two Mommies,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a couple of other ones. And they had, for gay guys, they had King and King, which I don't think is any very good even, you know. And Heather Has Two Mommies is sort of, I don't know, it's pretty pedestrian. Anyhow, so then I wrote this, and then that led to these other ones. These are all about the deer, the does, and someday I'm going to write eight more, because...
Yeah. Someday you're going to write eight more?
Yeah, because there's one sunny day in May, one short day in December.
Eight more months.
Yeah, one per month. And that's the longest one. And then, so then I found Noni at watercolor group that I go to, and she was funny. Noni Cox, the illustrator, and she would be in this watercolor class, which lasted for 2 hours, and sometimes three, and she would paint a total beautiful watercolor painting in just the session we were in there, right? And so then I asked her, would she like to try illustrating my books, and she said yeah. And so then it took her 3 or 4 months on each one, you know. It was crazy. I was like, wow. But she didn't charge me anything. She just did it as a... And she's really happy with the book, and we get it from Create Space. You know, I order them, and then so they cost almost $4.50 a book to order, and for the shipping and sales tax and all that. So that's, I'm gonna charge $10 for them, and you know, that's kind of a lot, especially that was the thick one, One Full Moon in June. Some of these are only 20 pages. I mean, less. Yeah, they're really short, and they. So then the layout person had to add pages, because that's why there's a lot of blank ones in some of them, because Create Space won't publish it if it's less than 20 pages. Then they won't put in, they can't fit anything on the spine.
Right.
So that makes it hard at a lot of bookstores, because they won't take it for them.
Copperfield?
It looks good.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's good.
Eight more, that's wonderful.
Well, yeah, I haven't started them
yet. Are they all different characters?
Well, no, they're all the same characters. I mean, I haven't started those other eight yet. That's one reason. These are all the same characters. Yeah, all four of them. They're all about the Doe family and their friends. And, you know, they're just kind of like that one was. They're simple and they're sweet. And it's just to give kids an idea that you can have two moms. Mm-hmm. is interesting. And Liza the Dancing Bear, I wrote, I don't even remember when I wrote her, but this was a long time ago, too. And then Noni illustrated this one so beautifully. And this was the first one she did, actually. My dear little one, lay down your cares, and I'll tell you the story of Liza, the dancing bear. Long ago in the deep dark forest, Liza was born, and she loved to dance from evening to morn. In the daytime she slept or ate berries with the rest, but it was the nights she liked the best. It was then when the fireflies came out and the skunks and the raccoons scampered about. The owls, they flew from tree to tree, then little Liza would dance with glee. The moon shone down so bright and gay. Soon all Liza's playmates found their way to the meadow in the middle of the deep, dark forest. Around the little bear they formed a ring, and all together they began to sing. And that's the song, picture that's on the front cover, too. They laughed and played the night away. For all we know, they're still dancing today. So go to sleep and dream, my darling child, and join little Liza out in the wild.
Oh, God.
Good night. Sweet dreams, my sweet.
That's terrific. That's as good as Goodnight Moon.
That's what I think. I read Goodnight Moon recently. It's a, I don't know why it's so popular.
It's
really
better than Goodnight Moon.
It's better than Goodnight Moon. Thank you. Yes, we just need to get it out there. So one of the sweet things that happened was I gave a copy of this to the young woman who's taken over this senior center out in Guerneville, and she has a little boy that, and she read it to him, and now she said that every night he says to her, "Good night, sweet dreams, my sweet."
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's really nice.
That's
very sweet.
Yeah. So.
So if you make eight more, maybe you could then do a book with the whole family story in 12 installments, and that would be thick enough for the spine, and still have all the illustrations.
Yeah.
Or a box set. You know, put them in a box and
yeah,
have that.
Yeah.
Well, that's an idea.
What would you call them?
I could even put those in a box set.
Huh?
I could even put the four of them. Oh, I would call it the. Let's see. Well, I would
have
to
make the word
one.
With
one. Yeah.
No, Liza the Dancing Bear doesn't.
Well, yeah, but she wouldn't go in the.
In that one.
Oh, I see. She wouldn't.
No, she's. It would be. One year with the with the deer. 1 year with Jane and Jill.
A year with the deer.
A year with the deer.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
That's very clever. Yeah, when the other three, like I said, are shorter than One Full Moon, and so I thought about when I was doing the layout stuff with this other woman, making them into one, you know, and having the three separate titles in one cover, but she didn't like the idea. She thought it would be better to keep them separate, so I don't know why. I just went with that.
Are they at Copperfield?
No. They take them at Copperfield's because they don't have the name on the spine, so they can't put them in that way, and then they have these certain size bookshelves, and they're a little wide for that, so they wouldn't put them in that. And anyway, we got this nice store right down the street.
That's true.
And these fellows bought them outright, rather than Copperfields, which takes stuff on consignment.
Yeah.
Takes forever.
Well, thank you.
Well,
thank you, Lila.
Is there anything else you wanted to tell us about the books?
Or about you and your work?
You were going to pass out that Earth Prayer.
The Earth Pledge, yeah. Well, oh yeah. So you guys want to say it with me?
Sure. Oh, I love this.
So I wrote the Earth Pledge a few years ago when for a short time, it was they made it illegal to say the Pledge of Allegiance because they said it had under God in it, and there was this whole thing about separation of church and state, and then somebody like the Supreme Court or the Congress made it, you know, they immediately said, oh, it was okay. But in between those few weeks or months, I wrote this and started passing it out. And there are several versions of this around on the internet and here and there. But so this one, people used to stand up with their hand over their heart, but you don't have to. I pledge allegiance to the earth on which I live. And to all her creatures, large and small, and to her water, air, and soil, one world, one people, undivided, with food, shelter, health, peace and freedom, love and justice for all.
Amen.
And all women. And so, yeah, and then on the back of it, I have all my contact info and stuff.
Excellent. Cool.
So this was the first book I ever did, Lilith Returns. You all know who Lilith was?
From the Bible.
Remind me again, is she was the other Eve or something?
She was the first woman. She came before Eve. And, she was too independent-minded to stay with Adam. He treated her as an equal, and they had fun in the garden together and played around and everything, but then gradually he started asserting himself more and more, and finally when he said to her, well, whenever we make love, I get to be on top because I'm the guy, she said, this is in the Talmud, is where these stories are.
It is in the Talmud?
Yeah, in the 5th century B.C., they... some Jewish women were getting pretty uppity, apparently, and so then the rabbis wrote this story about Lilith and said, and because she was so uppity, and she said they were equal, and because in the very first part of the Bible, in Genesis, before it says for Adam to lay down, and God took that as rib and made Eve, it says, and God made man and woman created he them, and he made them from the same soil, and so Lilith was equal, and but so yeah, and so then later on with the rib thing, that was a whole second story version, right? And then they named Eve, so
and she was
so she knew she was supposed to be subservient, even though she's the one that got everybody kicked out of the garden by eating that apple. And then there's a lot of feminists that say stuff like, well, I mean, he just said that if you eat of the apple, then you'll have knowledge of good and evil. And she's like, well, she didn't know what good and evil was, so she just thought she'd try it. But actually, Lilith precedes any of that, because she was also part of Babylonian mythology, and she was a character in what's the name of the woman that goes down in the underground and
Persephone.
See, there's lots of those underground stories, and she goes down and gets trapped down there and has to come back.
Demeter's Persephone's mother, but that's in the Greek. It sounds like you're looking for a Babylonian.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be Isis, would it?
No.
Because I don't really remember, know much about those myths.
Yeah. It'll come to me tomorrow, tonight, honestly.
Ishtar,
yeah. Yeah. And, so she plants the first tree, the halupu tree, on the banks of the river, and she's going to use it for her throne and her bed. And she plants the tree, and then she goes away. And while she's gone, the halupu bird makes her nest in the branches and puts her eggs. And Lilith, the dark maiden, makes her home in the trunk, and the it's an Azu bird that plants his thing up and plants her nest up in the top, and then Lilith, and then the serpent puts his itself down in the roots. And so then when Ishtar wants to come back and cut down the tree, then she has to get all those creatures to leave. And so Lilith flies away. So she goes on out. And so, you know, Lilith has been around for a long, long time. And she is mentioned in the Bible by name in two other stories, and she's not a very, you know, she doesn't have a good rep. But in this story, this my poem at the end, and she has a serpent's tail and wings. Lilith returns. Sleeping out under the dark pines, I realize my name is Lilith. Dreaming, I cross over the low fence surrounding the white man's dilapidated house and begin plucking from the trees the ripe peaches, apples, and plums he's allowing to fall and rot on the ground. That's my fruit, he howls at me as I sate my great hunger. That's mine. The fruits of the earth are here for us all, I calmly reply. The hoarding time is over. I am Lilith, the serpent's ally. Lesbian, woman, virgin, Jew, she who reclaims the name, the fruit, the earth, the knowledge for us all. And you probably know Sandy Eastoak's work. She
lives. It's read here several times.
Yeah. So yeah, she illustrated this for me back in 1989.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and that's what it has. This is so many of my poems. She did a great job.
Right.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, that's right. I came here and heard Sandy read one day. Not recently, but in the last several years. Anyhow.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Ta-da!
And, you know, I wrote this. I think you told me this is not something you're going to carry in the store, but this is another book. This is all lesbian love poems called Persimmons and Other Lesbian Erotica.
I would be happy to carry that. Don't have a problem with carrying that.
Really?
Okay.
I just got some pretty sexy images in it.
Pictures. I would want it in a place where children would.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what I was getting at.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read you this one last poem because it's very short, and it's called Spring Again.
Okay.
It happens every year. Daffodils and birdsong, green hills, blue rosemary, cold, clear, running water, bees and flowering plum trees, renewal. There you go.
Lovely.
Every spring. Read it again. I'm almost missed it.
It happens every year, daffodils and birdsong, green hills, blue rosemary, cold, clear, running water, bees and flowering plum trees, renewal.
All right.
That was 99.
All right, good.
I've got so many more poems, I could fill up another couple of books.
So do you put them together and send them off, or?
Well, I haven't lately.
Uh-huh.
But I could. Well, thanks, y'all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, we do this every week. This is our thing.
Three people come. And that's a bummer that
was
that
I thought it was almost always Tuesdays, and now it's Thursdays.
It's always Thursdays.
It's been Thursdays.